good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of The Podcast. Some of the hosts of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The bottom square, zooming in. It was a new two-bedroom place, I believe, in Austin. Gets rid of the cop. Cop, what's going on?
Ted, why do you give obscure details about my personal life?
Well, because you're still in Austin. You're still in the same building, but you did switch apartments.
That's true. We did switch apartments. For no negative reasons, just need another bedroom. So I'm in the bedroom studio, out of that closet, baby.
Yeah, look at you, living life.
Coming up. Literally moved up one floor, so moving on up.
All right, up there in the top left square. It's a long time since I've seen him. What, a day and a half?
Yep.
Matt Cobber, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted, great to see you again.
Yeah, man. So what we were talking about, I don't know how much Matt's going to leave in there in the beginning of this, is obviously if you've ever been to festivals or a dead show, you've seen people doing nitrous. But now in different states, they sell like these little mini tanks, and then the galaxy gas is everywhere. Like I get ads for it in my Instagram if I interact with too many EDM or passed out wooks, which is a good follow on Instagram, yeah. By the way. I'll get ads for it. But it's funny, Matt and I were talking about it, that like I always think of nitrous as being like, you know, like fish shows, dead shows, hippies, whatever. But like now it's like in the hood with this galaxy gas and it's like flavored. I'm like, huh. It's just, I don't know. It's just weird. Like I'm used to people like, you know, being out in the lot, eating grilled cheeses, doing balloons. And it's like these dudes are just rolling around the hood, just hitting the gas.
Like straight, yeah.
That is wild. That is absolutely wild. I mean, it's a new era.
And you're talking about going to the dentist. I've had a root canal. I've told this story. But at one point, I'm like, Doc, I need more gas. And he goes, sir, there is there's no nerves left in there. Like, you're just asking for gas. It's like, all right. So can I still have a hit?
Yeah, well, see, well, now that we're talking man running. To man, I am. And I believe I'm the one paying for this. I would just crank it up.
Right. I mean, just he was so funny. Like, there's no nerves left. You shouldn't be feeling anything. You're just asking for gas. Like, yeah, dude, I know.
Bro, you don't know my life. Okay. It's been a long week. Just crank it. Give me 5 minutes. Say,
if people don't know, I remember going to like an HF festival when I was 18, like 1999. And I remember just being like, what is with all these people in these balloons? Why do they like balloons so much? Just no idea what nitrous or any of that stuff was.
Ah, man, ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. My roommate back in Baltimore, like, was a big hippie. He promoted shows with EDM and stuff, and he got, like, a gigantic tank, like, as tall as me, and there was 50 different hippies in and out of his room, and that lasted, like, 2 days. Like, he's like, it's called hippie crack for a reason, and I was like, half of Baltimore just came through here to get a balloon off that thing? No kidding. Like, the bat signal went out, and all the hippies showed up at our house within 5 minutes.
Oh my God. And now it's just legal. People can just buy it wherever. That's
so
wild.
I think you're kind of jumping ahead. I don't know that it's like, they're just like, it's legal everywhere. I mean, I know in Europe it's legal.
Matt said he just bought some.
Yeah. Well, I'm California.
I'm saying though, it's like a legal loophole.
Yeah. And right? The same like smoke shops are selling the banned flavored Zins and vape juices too. Like those are technically not allowed in California. And they're just like, yeah, we don't care. Who's going to come enforce it? So I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I'd be like, oh, it's super legal. Everybody could do it. Like I know in England for sure it's legal. Cause it's kind of like a joke, but like, yeah, I feel like it's some type of loophole. Cause I remember back in the day in Maryland, they used to lock up the little chargers at like Crate and Barrel and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was always a joke Like if you were a bartender and you came in the morning and like your whipped cream, if you're making Irish coffees and you can't get any whipped cream out, it's like, God damn it. The cooks must have been in here after we left and did all the nitrous out of the whipped cream.
Jesus. Yeah, that's wild. Well, I do feel some obligation since we're, you know, it's one to many to say that that drug can be kind of dangerous. So be careful. I know it's been shown to cause brain damage when done in excess. So make your own choices.
Dude, what was that guy's name? Man, was it a shoe company or something? The dude was like a millionaire or whatever. And then same thing. He started doing so much that he would just like hold up.
Tony Hsieh.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. He wrote a great book. Yeah. Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos. Towards the end, he was doing a lot of nitrous, what I heard.
Yeah, right. Because he ends up dying in a fire. But he was like out in like the garage or the shed or something, had candles. And I guess just all those containers or whatever, and they just, you know, just boom, blew up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not getting enough oxygen, which happens often, then people will lose consciousness. And I believe there's some controversy. Some of his friends say he wanted to die, was ready to die, but other people say that he passed out because of the nitrous and you know, and then obviously the carbon dioxide finished him off. But what were you gonna say, Matt?
Oh, I'm not advocating drug use, but if you were intrigued, I would advocate for a solid couple hours of research. Type in Reddit nitrous and start reading stories, both good and bad, and know what you're getting yourself into. Just do some objective research if you're curious.
Well, there is a reason it's called hippie crack too, right? Because, I mean, it's so quick. And then I know years ago I was talking to somebody and they were like, technically it's not addictive, but they were like, you get so used to that quick little, like, because it doesn't last long. They're like, it can kind of trick your brain, and then all of a sudden you're just like, well, we got to do something.
I need more. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, the galaxy gas stuff is wild, man. Like I haven't done it, but I just like, you just see it on the internet and I'm just like, man, like that, it also seems crazy to me. Like I watched one dude, he was just filling up his gas, just popped open his trunk, started hitting the tank. I was like, all right.
While he was filling up gas? Oh, yeah. My God. Dude, America. God, the U.S. is wild.
Right?
That's incredible.
All right, let's see. Let's start with a little... we got to talk a little college football because Alabama lost last weekend. Saturday was one of those days, man. Just wild. Tennessee goes down. Huskies had a big W over Michigan to avenge the... championship game loss, but it's just one of those Saturdays where, like, right, I was going to a big benefit auction that night, so I was kind of chilling. Me and my buddy Rob, we're gonna meet up early, and then I clicked over to SEC Network, started watching that Bama and Vanderbilt game, and then
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Yeah, originally we were supposed to meet at like 4 something. I didn't end up meeting him till like 5:45, and he's like, where you been? I was like, dude, I was like, I showered up. And then I had on like my undershirt, boxer briefs, and my dress socks. And I was like, I just got stuck on the couch for like another 45 minutes watching the end of that game. And then the Husky game was on. So I was watching that, boom, popping the Uber, got the suit on. And like, I turn it on and like, it barely says something. And the driver's like, you watching the Husky game back there? And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, actually, I was just watching it on my phone before I took your ride.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, he was like, that's why I was parked around the corner from your house. I'm just in an empty parking lot watching the Husky game. I was like, god damn, that's one of my favorite things about college football. Like, people just get pumped.
Oh yeah, dude. And that's the thing, you know, for people who aren't following closely, Alabama ranked number one, no Nick Saban, going up against Vanderbilt unranked, haven't knocked off like a top five team in like decades and decades.
They were 0-60.
They came out firing. They scored the first two touchdowns, I believe. Like, they went up quick. They looked good. Quarterback looked good. Running back looked good. I mean, even they were in their home stadium and their fans were outnumbered. Like, the Commodores were not meant to win that game. That thing was crazy.
Yeah, Vanderbilt is a great school, but not known for its football prowess. And
that's
then
a good way to put it.
It's funny, the quarterback there wears number two is he loves Johnny Manziel. And like that was such a big upset over Alabama. The only thing I could aken it to was when Texas A&M went into Alabama years ago with Manziel and they beat him. And it was the same thing. It was just shock. Cobb and I, you might not remember, we watched the end of that game at Dad Watson's. So I was like, that guy's like, I love Manziel. It's wearing number two. I was like, man, I remember exactly where I was last time Alabama lost one of these games.
Man, yeah, that thing was, I mean, the highlights were, they were highlights. Some crazy plays, some like incredible defensive plays by Vandy as well as offense. I mean, their running back was on fire. And then, yeah, you're right, dude, that UW game, so sick.
Yeah.
It feels good to beat Michigan, I'll say.
It does. And trust me, I was at a very nice, I mean, there was an auction. So before the auction starts, there's a silent auction, right? And there's like, you know, you have drinks and stuff, you bid on everything. Then you go into the main room. They start serving you, you know, the salad and dinner and stuff. Also, this was for Paul's, an animal charity. I walked in, got my info, and I go, oh, hey, I think my buddy signed me up wrong. I don't need a vegetarian meal. And she goes, it's vegetarian or vegan. And I just look at her, I go, oh, yeah, animals. Of course you're not serving animals tonight.
That is honestly such a Ted Smith line. I love that.
Yeah, right. I'm just like,
I'll take the rare owl. Jesus. Do you have anything more endangered? I'm kind of, yeah. Oh, that's good, dude.
So then our buddy, the mayor, who's on the board as the president, he opens it up. He's on stage giving a speech. I felt a little bad, but not too bad. And I've got my phone underneath like the table, like kind of hiding it because my buddy Dwayne's next to me. We're watching the game and like trying to pay attention to the mayor. And then like the MC of the night comes out and she's talking. She's from King Five. She was actually really good. And she was just like, I have dogs and this and that. And then she was like, I should mention everybody in this room knows there's another dog game happening right now, the Huskies. And she would give like updates. And then like halfway through her speech, we looked down, Huskies score that go-ahead touchdown. And me and Dwayne just did like a fist bump underneath the table. I turned it off. I was like,
oh, yeah,
we got this. And then like, yeah, like 2 minutes later, she's like, good news. The Huskies won.
That's awesome. Good for her. Mid speech, she's giving updates. That's impressive.
Well, I think a lot of the donors at that organization, some of the big donors, are also massive Husky fans. So, and look, that's the problem. One of the problems with college football is they don't announce all the start times till like a week or two in advance. So, like, it was just like, oh, this is happening at like the exact same time.
Yeah, the elephant in the room.
Hopefully a safe one.
Yeah, exactly, being rehabilitated.
I also think it's funny that like maybe it's just given my job, but like halfway through the auction they do like a vignette, right? And it's this guy, and I mean, look, I'll cut through it and just be honest with you boys. They rescue this dog. This dog's f***ed up, right? Like, it's emancipated. Right, it hasn't eaten, like it doesn't really like humans. This dog's in bad shape. So
did you say it was emancipated?
Yeah. Not emancipated.
Emaciated. Yeah. But also was a free man. I mean, yeah. Like, to put that out there, this dog was not a slave.
So we're watching it. And it's like one of those stories. I mean, look, it was, you know, tugging at your heartstrings too. It's like, then the guy's like, well, I saved the dog and we do adventures, but he's like, that dog saved me because I ended up getting cancer. And it's like this big, long thing. And look, it works, right? People are tearing up. They're going to start bidding. And then the guy, it's like a video and it's like, he's at the park and he's like, come on, whatever the dog's name is. And the dog's all healthy looking. He's like, we got to go now. And like the lights start to like the lights are out, and like the video kind of ends, and I just elbow my buddy. I go, that dog's coming out on stage. And he's like, you think? 2 seconds later, there's the spotlight, there's the guy and the dog. They're playing fetch on stage. He's like, how'd you know? And I was like, I've never really been to an auction like this. I go, I think maybe just because I worked in like the entertainment business, I was just like, they gotta trot that dog out after that dude. after that story.
Clay, you gotta bring the prize pony out.
Exactly right.
Oh, that's awesome. Great call. what kind of dog was it?
What's that, Matt?
Was there a standing O when they brought him out?
No, there wasn't a standing O, but like you're sitting at tables and like it was pretty crowded in there. So I don't like there wasn't a ton of movement once it like kind of started.
Okay.
So I
think that's probably the solemn only hard clap.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of good clapping and stuff. They also they have like a wine service during dinner, right? And during like the auction part. So then kind of like I like wine, it's fine. But like I'm like, I don't want to sit here and drink wine. So like I scout out an exit. I see where the staff's coming in and out. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna walk to the stage, make a hard left, because people are going to the bathroom, go out to the bar, get a beer. Go out there and like the guy, because I don't know about you guys. I was a complete idiot. Like when I first went to get a drink, I was like, can I pay you cash? Do I start a tab? He's like, no, man, just write down your bid number and what you got. I'm like, I don't know my fucking bid number. He's like, first time, huh? He's like, it's at your table. Like,
yeah.
And then he's like, I trust you. Like you paid for this ticket. I don't think you're going to run off. But he's like, just come back and write it down. So like I had BS with that guy a couple times. I come out and I'm like, bar's already closed. He's like, yeah, we're not supposed to serve during like the wine service and everything. And I'm like, ah, damn it. All right, that sucks. And he goes, what do you want, man? You just want another beer? And I was like, yeah, can I get another beer? And they were like, yeah. I mean, they're already like putting glasses back away. And they're like, yeah, sure. Here you go. You can have a beer. So then, when I got back to the table, there was the table next to us had some of our other friends, one of which is a lovely gentleman, but a beer fan himself. And he's just like, how'd you get that? I was like, I got the last one. But don't fear, people. I donated $100.
Nice. That's what I was going to say. It's like, you, by avoiding that wine, you saved yourself thousands. Just remember that.
Oh, dude. And I get what they're doing, man. You have happy hour. They have like specialty like fall autumn cocktails. Like people are getting lubed up. And then you play these videos with you just feel bad for these animals. So it's like, yeah, of course people are bidding out of their mind.
Exactly. Just like middle-aged white women with nothing better to do, just dropping 10, 15 grand. It gets wild in those auctions. That's,
yeah.
And you guys know who Stanley Tucci is, the actor? Yeah. Bald head. He always wears like little round glasses. You've seen him in a bunch of stuff. He's a very good actor. He's kind of famous. He had like a show on the Cooking Channel and stuff. So they auction off these desserts. So one guy standing up there, he's got on like an awesome blazer, this and that, but he's got those little round glasses, perfectly shaved head. So I just say to my buddy, I go, oh, we got Stanley Tucci, like, you know, like sitting up there or whatever. So at some point it becomes kind of an ongoing joke and it's like, wow, where's Tucci at, man? Little do I know that, like, one stage is to my right, the other stage is to my left. At some point in switching stages, he's sitting behind me. I did not realize this.
Oh, no.
I'm like when he leaves, I'm like, really like your look and this and that. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, I got it here and there. And I look at my buddy. I go, did he hear me call him off-brand Stanley Tucci, like, 3 or 4 times?
Yes, he did. Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, super fancy event, and your boy was just, you know, just a little out of water there. Not my normal thing.
Dude, I feel like you thrive at those, man. I mean, yeah, it's like maybe not your thing, but I feel like you come out on top. Like the bartender loved you, you know, everyone at your table, I'm sure, was hyped. Like,
oh yeah, it was. I mean, it was a ton of fun. I just, man, that it good for those people. They're donating a lot of money. It's like anything. I even like one thing I was like, I might bid on this, and they're like, all right, we're gonna start at $2,300. And I was like, oh, oh, oh.
And I am out.
Like, count Ted's out on this one, boys.
Yeah, I'm just gonna feed some street dogs on my way home.
Right, not eat meat tonight.
Yeah, exactly. One night of asparagus, save a couple dogs. That's awesome, man.
Which was a complete lie. We went out and had a couple drinks afterwards. I got home at like midnight. I was like, I'm going to warm up some of these chicken meatballs. I know we're going to talk about it in What's Mattening, but Cobb, as some things come to a close, other things start. Sunday, Matt and I, at the end of the day, did jump in to Lake Sammamish.
Nice, boys.
Yeah. I feel like that was the end of probably lake season for Ted Smith.
Yeah, summer. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, first sausage dip of the year. Dip season's officially open.
Let's go. Ring that opening bell, baby. Wow. I wish I had a giant bell behind me to ring. It's like the regatta. It's like opening day for boat season, baby. We are in dip season, boys. Honestly, just on that note, I'm going to buy some dip tomorrow. Feel like some of that artichoke jalapeno dip. Nice. Dip season, baby. I can feel it. October 8th, that feels about right. I think it would have been September would have been premature this year.
I'm with you. And it was a nice, kind of warm September. I was like, I don't know. It just felt right. But honestly, dude, Sunday was gorgeous up here, man. It was like low 70s. Like, we jumped in. I mean, it was cold, but you know me, I stayed in for like a minute or two. I was just like, this isn't like I'm going to die cold.
Yeah, dude, I stand by what I said last week. You are the dip season groundhog. Like, you've been honing this skill that we didn't even know for years. I mean, you think about all the seasons of college football, all the dips that you've made, you kind of just know. It's like how birds know to fly north, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then, Matt, I'm sure you'll talk about it too, but obviously, Cobb, you've been to the lake house. Just a ridiculous spread.
Yeah. Obscene. I would go so far as to say obscene. It's opulent. Like, it would make presidents blush. It's ridiculous.
It is funny. I took four pictures that day. One of them is the sausage dip.
Yeah, I saw you put that on Twitter.
Nice. It's time.
I had a vision for a group picture at some point, and it just got too fun too fast, and then everyone was gone and I had to catch a flight. But yeah, I got a picture of the sausage dip commemorating the start of dip season.
Nice. It's on.
That is funny. I mean, that was a good group of people. We did not take one picture together.
Too much fun, man.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Unfortunately, the Seahawks lost. They looked absolutely like garbage.
Yeah.
Really?
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was as much as last week, I was like, hey, the Lions, that's a good loss. I'll take it. This was a very bad loss. They just looked out of sorts, and the one touchdown they score or one touchdown they got, they ran all the way back from the goal line. But Matt and I were looking at the replay. I think it was you and me and I was like, I think that dude scored a touchdown for the Giants.
Yeah.
I was shocked that call went our way.
Yeah, that was the most exciting part for sure. I mean, the end was exciting. It just didn't end how we wanted it to.
No, not at all.
You know what though? If I'm going to have one of our teams win, I'll take UW over Michigan. I got to be honest. New conference, set of tone, replay of the national championship, home game. Let's get it.
Yeah. And honestly, I was going to say, because Washington, losing to Washington State, in Rutgers, it's just man, if they hadn't blown, especially Rutgers, so many mistakes, but if they hadn't lost that game, I think game day would have been out here again.
Oh yeah, I believe that. Speaking of game day, so there's starting to be billboard. One of our listeners emailed in that he's coming down to Austin. There's billboards popping up around Austin now that just say the biggest weekend of all time, and it's Formula One, Texas, Georgia, Eminem, and I can't remember who the other performer is. I want to say Chris Stapleton. Huh. And it's just, there's billboards everywhere. It's just the biggest weekend of all time.
That's massive.
That is huge. I like all those things.
Yeah. And my wife's flying out of town, so one of my friends is coming in. Open invite, by the way. But it's going to be live.
Dude, and didn't you guys just have South by Southwest?
It's going on right now. So that was weekend one was last weekend, which Pretty Lights rocked it. I did not think of them as a live headliner. They were so good live. Very fun. And then it'll be back. It's two weekends in a row, so it's 2-3-day weekends. As far as other people who rocked it, actually Benson Boone, Monroe native, killing it, blowing up. We bought tickets to his other show downtown, and what I didn't realize, I knew he was blowing up and I didn't know how big he was, but I didn't realize that he blew up on TikTok. So I went with my wife and we get there and it's us. And I kid you not, boys, 3,500 14-year-old girls screaming their heads off for Benson Boone. It was pretty uncomfortable. We left early, yeah. But it was a good show.
Like when Drago used to coach for the Reign, like back in the day, and like, right, like Hope Solo's on the team. There's like three national stars, like the star from the Japanese team. So like it was at Memorial, they used to play at Memorial Stadium, and I lived in Belltown. So I would walk up there and like, Cobb, you went to a game with me. Like, A, it's oh, yeah. odd just because like you got to either be a soccer nerd or again, a teenage girl or like play soccer. Matt, it's all little girl soccer teams. And then like Cobb and I drinking coffee.
Yeah. It was like if we were like at a little girl soccer game and we didn't have kids on the field. That was the vibe.
Yeah.
It exactly. was not a good look for us.
But I remember not some of the games I would go down there and wait, like wait for Drago and stuff. But like I talk about this on the air all the time. The tone of that high-pitched scream from girls, that it just like it's just piercing. You're just like, oh my god. Like sometimes I wonder how, like, how do the boy bands when they start out, like you just gotta wear earplugs everywhere you go.
Yeah, it will haunt me in my dreams. It was a tough concert, but Benson Boone's a hell of a performer, and I didn't realize he was from Monroe. He's young, he's 22, does backflips and stuff on stage. Rad, definitely check out his music. It's like pop country, I guess would be the easiest way to say it, but it's its own thing. Really good. Freddie Mercury vibes for sure.
Nice. And I do respect, I always say her name wrong because it's not Chappelle, but
Chapel Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw she like had like the biggest crowd ever or whatever. Is that Austin City Limits? Maybe it's not South by South.
All right. No, ACL, Austin City Limits. That's what's here. South by is in the spring.
All right. But I saw people were like, basically, like she called out her old, like one of her old teachers and was like, ah, fuck you. Look at my crowd.
She did?
Yeah. It was like her music teacher, somebody. People were like, can you believe
that's
she
so
did
unnecessary?
That? It is, but I'm here for the pettiness. I was like, good for her.
Love it.
Oh, that's rad, dude.
Yeah. So I was funny. Just like, I don't know, like you're back in the town where you had that teacher, like you have a crowd of thousands and thousands of people setting a record for Austin City Limits. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and brag a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, some of those resentments run deep. That's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe she's young, so she still thinks about it. I don't know, it'd be tough for me to name my teachers at this point.
But yeah, I mean, I had teachers say some things about me that turned out right, you know, but if someone was like, you know, like music, that's her thing. And then she's at the top of the music game. Like, yeah, let them know. Absolutely.
Plus, yeah. You're right, dude. I think she's in like her early 20s. So that's still pretty fresh for her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And probably that resentment. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, time heals all wounds, right?
I think the 20s is a great time to go on a tear and prove all your doubters wrong. Like with that 20s aggression and testosterone.
Yeah, actually, I just read an article today with the dude was interviewing John Summit, the DJ, and he was talking about it. And he was just like, yeah, like I party real hard. He's like, I'll have a couple shots before the show. Like I might have some during the show. Then he's like, and then I like to go out afterwards and this and that. And they were like, do you smoke? He's like, oh yeah, I rip cigs like this and that. But he also was like, he's like, look, like I blew up like basically in 2 years. I'm in my 20s. He was like, I don't really date. I just hang out with chicks. And I was like, you know what? Good for this guy.
I don't really date. I hang out with chicks.
Yeah. He was like a broker or something, got fired from his job and started making a bunch of different, I guess he was already making music and then like, yeah, just skyrocketed. And he's like, yeah, this is awesome.
Wow. Yeah. He's like, at this point, I just have a harem.
Yeah. In the interview, him asked about like, how do you get girl? Like, what's your advice for girls that, you know, get up in the DJ booth? And he's like, don't DM me. I don't even check them. He's like, he said, like, reach out to my, like, somebody in our production team or something, slide into their DMs. And he goes, if they say you're a vibe, you're a vibe. If you're not, you're not. So I was just like, I already like the dude's music. He's just out here crushing it.
Oh my God.
they say you're of. That's awesome. Right. What a great interview.
All right, let's take a break here, and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and in the cop topic? All right. Thank you to all our sponsors out there. And one of our newest sponsors, the University of Vanderbilt.
Nice.
Congrats on your goalposts.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Cal University. Game day was there. They end up losing to Miami. But, like, I don't know if people understand, like, Cal's a really good school, right? It's like kind of like an Ivy League school on the West Coast. And, like, McAfee on game day just did a great job of, like, it was like 90 seconds, and he's just like, look, I didn't know what to expect. Basically, he just, in a very nice way and complimentary, was like, hats off to you nerds. Like, I didn't think you had this in you.
It is so funny how, like, the football team's Cal, but if you meet someone that went there, they're more likely to tell you they went to Berkeley.
It is. I mean, I kept saying it all day, like, yeah, Miami's at Berkeley. And I'm like, no, it's Cal. But, yeah. It is the truth.
Yeah, one of my clients went there, and he calls it Cal. And I was like, as in, like, Berkeley? Like, you're not calling it Berkeley? He's like, no, I hate when people do that. Everyone does that. Like, you're cool, man.
I also, cool, like, one dude had a sign that was like, I was told there was going to be a protest. Because, I mean, you start back in the 60s, like, Berkeley is famous for the protest. I just was like, that is a good sign. So I'm very self-aware. Like, I love it.
That's rad.
Cobb, you would appreciate, now on game day, they, like, have a kid from the crowd try to kick. I don't know if it's a 30-yard field goal, whatever. And, like, you know, they're like, we'll pay for some of your tuition. McAfee always throws in extra money. So you have a kid from Cal, right? And he's wearing some dusty-ass Vans and, like, sweatpants. He's like, been here since midnight. I stopped studying for midterms. He misses the first one, and then they're like, can you kick it? And he's like, yeah, like, I played a little soccer in my day. So McAfee's like, 100 G's if you boot this through. And he f***ing nailed it.
Oh, yes. Wow, for 100 G's. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just love, like, classic West Coast kid. Like, he obviously played soccer in high school. Just sweatpants.
Wait, so how did he miss the first one?
Dude, honestly, I think he just missed it left.
Oh, my God. And then he's like, nope, I got it. Wow. When it mattered. That's awesome.
Right. And he's like in Vans slip-ons. Like, you know, like the checkered ones?
Yes.
Yeah. But they're the they're so old. They're like brown and black instead of white and black.
Oh, God.
It was great.
Jesus.
All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some or one email?
One special email. All right. I actually didn't check my spam folder, which I should have done, but, you know, I rushed here from a previous engagement. Disturbing Disney scene. To the greatest pod cast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Honestly, I'm not sure if it's a Disney movie, but when Littlefoot's mom dies fighting Sharptooth during the earthshake at the beginning of The Land Before Time, it wrecked me big time. I was probably 5 years old for the first, 5 years old the first time I saw that movie, and now having a 5-year-old son, there's no effing way I would show him that at his age. My sister still calls me Spike, which is fairly accurate, but she was always dude, this is oddly specific, and I was a huge Land Before Time fan, so this email just hits. For people who it doesn't work for, don't even worry about it, but she was always a All right, I gotta start over. Sorry. My sister still calls me Spike, which is fairly accurate, but she was always the bitch Sarah, so I can live with it. Ted, thanks for chatting with me at the Black Raven in Woodinville at the Men's Room IPA launch. I live in Woodinville and regularly get a pint or two of that delicious beer on my way home from work. Please know that what you guys do with the cast is greatly appreciated. Listening to you guys bullshit and laugh makes me laugh, and I truly believe that if you can really laugh at least once during the day, it's a good day. Thank you, boys. Chris, P.S. Go Cougs.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Chris, I'm right there with you. Talk about crying in a film. I'll never forget it. Land Before Time, movie theater. I went with my sister and her friend, who I haven't seen her in years, but I, you know, even back then, like, Jenny was attractive. And that mom dies in the beginning of that movie, and we're with her mom. And I mean, I just couldn't stop crying. I mean, I think I'm almost still embarrassed about it today, which I shouldn't be. I mean, I just, like, everybody in the theater's done. I'm still, she's like, and the mom's handing me tissues. I'm just like, ah, not a good look in front of Jenny.
No, no, you don't want to show out in front of Jenny like that. That's, I mean, maybe she liked a sensitive man later in life, but at that age, tough.
Yeah, so I'm right there with Chris. That movie was traumatizing.
That bitch Sarah, that's awesome. I loved I think it's Petrie, the little that little like crazy winged bat thing. Pterodactyl, little mini pterodactyl.
Dude, honestly, all I remember was crying at the first one. I never delved back into any of those movies.
I believe they're on like 13 now or something crazy. I'll look it up. It's something insane. It's something unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, the original one came out in 1988. Wow, did not know that.
All right, so I was 7.
Wow. Okay, so I'm seeing at least XIV. So anybody know Roman numerals? That's going to be, what, 14, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they made 14 in 2016. Then they made a TV series. Yeah, so they got through 14 of them, which I... Call me crazy. I thought when you get to the Great Valley, like, we're good. That's like heaven. It's Eden, Elysium, you know? Like, oh, we got to the Great Valley, dude. Everything's looking up. But apparently not.
Well, keep in mind, Fox once had a TV show called, like, Jailbreak or something, or Prison Break.
Yeah.
And then, like, they had more seasons. It's like, well, I thought the whole point of the show was them breaking out of the prison.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Dude, thank you. It's like Ghost Hunters. They're on like season 11. And I'm just like, have we found proof of ghosts or not? Are there ghosts?
Oh, they're always close, but they never find. They never see. Them. But
for 13 seasons, I'll give you 2 seasons. You got to bring me something.
Yeah. It's like, what's it? Jesse or whatever. The Loch Ness Monster. And oh, it's yeah. Like nowadays, it's like, all right, well, where's a photo of it, man? Like, I don't know. We might have talked about this before. Like, just like, you know, when I was a kid, there was always that one famous photo. And everybody's like, it's real. Can't deny it. It's like, well, all right.
Yeah.
Now everybody has cameras on them at all the times. And I've never seen a better photo.
Yeah. Everyone has like high res video cameras in their pocket, and all of a sudden we're not seeing as many people abducted by aliens.
Yeah, like I know people saw the Northern Lights last night because everybody posted on Facebook about it.
Yeah, you think of an alien touchdown in suburban America, there would not be 4K footage. I doubt that very much. Right. Then again, I mean, wasn't the Air Force saying there was aliens like 2 years ago or whatever, that big trial thing?
Yeah, again, aliens I believe in.
Yeah, oh, for sure. We're probably aliens, bro.
All right, well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Did either of you, I don't know if it was a tweet or a screenshot or what, but like someone announced the birth of Tony Hawk's son and Kurt Cobain's daughter had a kid, and someone was just like, close enough, welcome back, Jesus Christ.
Right. I mean, it is the whole generation's like, I mean, those are two massive heroes for people.
Right.
That's right. That's also insane.
I love that tweet. So, yeah, I had an action-packed weekend. Let's see, we'll just go chronological. Started Friday, flew out on the early flight at 7:50. Boarding started at 7:10. I got out of my car at 7:10. I thought I had already checked in, and then I got to the airport, and I couldn't pull up my boarding pass. And then it was, the thing was weird, and then it was like, you're not checked in. And I was like, well, check me in. And it's like, it's boarding time. You can't check in when it's boarding time. News to me. So I had to ask an agent. They said, just go through security. You have to talk to them at the gate. And I was like, how do I go through security without a boarding pass? They were like, they'll let you. And so then I had to go through security without a boarding pass. That's a first. talk to the people at the counter, and I'm like, what group are you boarding now? If I'm group E, and they're like, we just called first class. So I still had plenty of time to spare, despite that's how cool the Palm Springs airport is.
That is pretty cool. I've been places before where it's like, if it's 40 minutes before departure, they won't even let you check in.
Right. Right. So I like to just, you know, throw that out there to people that have to deal with major airports. Because
yeah, suck it, the rest of you.
I got out of the car at the beginning of the boarding time and made it with ample time to spare, but not recommending that. And yeah, then I got there, and Friday Tyler picked me up. We went to Pike Place and just walked around, got some pierogi, kind of looked at like what the lines were allowing for, and then, because it was like pierogi, you got Beecher's right there. What's the other one that gets the line right there? Not Starbucks. Oh, Pike Place Chowder had a long line. So we ended up getting pierogi. Went down to Cobb's. Shout out. Looking great. Well done. Shout out to Arthur. Really cool guy. Working there. Talked to him for solid, 5-10 minutes. We were just chilling and, yeah, it was fun to see how the shops come along. So great job, Cobb and company. And then
thanks, man.
Yeah, that was cool. That was the day that the new waterfront like crossover thing opened, but it wasn't open when we were there.
Oh yeah, we donated like 300 bags to that. They did like a big party and stuff with the city. It was supposed to be really cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
I saw a lot of people went down there this weekend. Like, people are pumped about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Michigan fans too in town. Like, we noticed a big uptick. Yeah,
I saw a ton of Michigan gear at Pike Place. Just walking around.
I mean, look, if you're a Michigan fan, right now that Washington's in the conference with you, like, people were talking. I remember Michigan fans talking to it about it when we were down there for the Natty. But like, seeing Husky Stadium, plus the weather was, Friday was rainy, but the rest of the weekend was beautiful. Like, that's a trip you mark off. Like, let's go to Seattle and see our team play right there on the shores of Lake Washington.
Well, especially, yeah, greatest setting in college football. I mean, if you're, you know, you're used to the Big House, you know, like worshiping at an incredible college football stadium, like that makes on the list every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was Friday. Then Saturday was the reason I went up. My buddy Colin lives up there. He has Down syndrome, and so I hadn't seen him since a couple years ago, and most of my friends, I'm just like, well, I'm loving it down here. What do you want from me? You know, but with him, he's like,
yeah.
Where you been, dude? So it was really good to see him. Really awesome day. Went to the Family Fun Center. His go-karting, he drove himself. His idea of racing lines isn't quite there, or like he didn't cause any collisions, but he just went right where other people, he was like eight people in front of me by the time we finished. He was flying around that track.
Nice.
So
I mean, fun. I was down there like a month and a half ago on those go-karts, like, good for him.
Yeah, no, I told him I'm gonna start calling him Colin Verstappen.
Wow, yeah, Colin Norris.
And so yeah, then we went back to my house and watched Jumanji the original and Jurassic World, two of his favorites, and it was good to watch those with him again. I've seen, they're just two of his favorite movies. He talks about them all the time when we're on the phone, and so it was fun to just watch them with him. And then Sunday
we randomly watched, what is it, Jurassic World with Chris Pratt?
Uh-huh. That's one we watched. Real good.
Yeah. I mean, totally ridiculous at this point, but it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And yeah, so they're great movies. The original Jumanji, that was awesome. And so after that, next morning, I had some people that I invited over that we've been talking about, including Ted, the mayor, George, And just a lot of people that we reference on this podcast, a lot of our friends.
And I mean, George the Black Republican. That's how we know George. He used to email in.
Most famously, George the Black Republican. And then we had a great day, man. That was a lot of fun. You know, red zone was on early. People started filing in, I'd say about 11 or so. So we watched a lot of red zone, and then we waited for the Hawks game to start. That didn't go according to plan. but everything else did. Like, Pagliacci got there at a good time. My dad finished the steak and the salmon right at the end of halftime.
It was halibut, and it was fucking delicious.
Put some respect on it.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. That giant tenderloin, that steak was phenomenal. But, man, that halibut with the your dad said it to me like 10 times. Wasn't mango. It was something other kind of chutney. Oh, I can't believe I forgot. I was like, he's like, you got to get some of that on the fish. I was like, on it.
Yeah. Papaya.
Papaya. That's right. Yeah. Papaya chutney. And Cobb, he's downplaying it a little bit. Like, you get there, his girl Tyler's already chopping fruit, you know, and like, as red zone's on, you know, Mitch, he's like, all right, go out and watch red zone. Like, get out of my kitchen. Then it's like, I don't know, 30 minutes later, you come back in, there's like a giant spread of melon and strawberries and hummuses and like any kind of chip you want it. Like, all these snacks. Sausage dip was blatantly brought out to the ottoman in the living room while we were watching red zone.
Yeah.
And then it's then it's like, all right, everybody, we're gonna serve dinner. And it's like, yeah, this, I mean, literally, I patted down that me and Nick patted down and dried off that ribeye. I mean, that tenderloin. It was massive.
Yeah.
I was like holding it up with one arm. I was like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just phenomenal spread. Yeah. And then Matt was back. So he's like, I got to order some Pagliacci. Sir, just came around the corner. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take a piece.
Yeah. We had it pretty dialed. It came together quick. Like, yeah, it just worked out really well. It was great to see everyone. Like I said, the Seahawks game didn't go according to plan. I could kind of sense the trap game-ness of it. And then my personal, like, we're winning today. Like, I was taking a win for granted. The real win was seeing everyone. So, yeah, it was really, really awesome to see everyone. Thank you all for coming. And that was a great day. And then Ted and I jumped in the lake after the game.
Yep, I was gonna say. So I know Matt has to get on a flight. Like, the mayor's got his kid with him, and like, they need to do something. So the mayor's like, we got to go. And I was like, just give me 15 minutes. He's like, for what? I'm like, I'm jumping in that lake. And like, Matt didn't miss a beat. I just, you know me. Like, 2 seconds later, I'm in my bathing suit. I was like, Matt, come on, I'm jumping in that lake.
Get it, boys, for the podcast. Get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to be next to a beautiful body of water like that and not get in.
Exactly.
Yeah. But like I said, that weather, Matt, was just awesome too. Like, Friday was kind of stormy, but man, Sunday, it was like, when you were sitting out on the deck, it was like, it's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Well, for us, Matt was probably freezing.
No, when we were eating outside and the sun was just like on the back of my neck, I could feel a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
Just different with the humidity.
Wet heat.
The difference.
Wet hot American heat.
Yeah.
Wet heat.
It took a while, and it was just on the back of my neck underneath a black hat. But like, I was like, oh, that's what that Northwest sun's like. Down here, it's just like you step out into an oven. So yeah, it was really good to see everyone, get in the lake, and... yeah, I just felt like I got the full Seattle experience in a couple days, and now I'm back down here for the season, ready to go.
Nice. Yeah, it was great. It's great seeing you. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Matt, real quick, the dinner I was just at, one of the guys there is a... it's like a bubble candidate professional golfer, and I was just dropping Palm Springs courses like I've played them all. I was like, oh, are you talking about the vintage? Are you talking about the tradition? I was like, wow, you know a lot about golf. I actually don't.
So anyway, shout out to you.
I was going to say, between Matt and the, Bob Does Sports and Fat, all the golf guys I watch on Instagram, I'm with you. I drop golf knowledge all the time now.
yeah, me too. It's like, oh, what's your handicap? Like, I don't play. Retired. This guy actually was, who's the number one golfer in the world right now?
Scottie Scheffler.
That was his college roommate.
No kidding.
No shit.
Yeah.
No kidding. No kidding.
No, yeah. Scotty's a Texas boy. That makes sense. That's awesome.
That does add up.
Yeah, they went to UT. All right, cop topic. What's something people in their 20s don't realize will affect them when they get older, like when they're in their 40s? I've kind of just gotten back into stretching, realized like my back is super tight. I had a bad dentist appointment where he's like, hey, you're grinding your teeth, whatever, it's taking some damage. So what's something people in their 20s don't realize will affect them when they get older? As they hit their 40s or 50s. Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com, 2 E's. Our emails were sparse this week. Hit us up, boys. I know, I see the numbers. A lot of you guys are listening. I kind of like the silent majority out there, but, and my favorite, honestly, are the people who email who have been like, I've been listening to you for 9 years and never said a word. What's up?
I mean, Cobb, I think you hit two big ones, just staying active and stuff like teeth and stretching, right? Cause like the older you get, like sometimes like there's just, I don't know, you could sleep wrong and be like, I got this thing in my, neck or whatever. Yeah. I would also say relationships too, and not just, like male, female, but like, I don't know. I look at back at some of the people I spent time with and I'm like, why did I hang out with that person that much? Cause like they didn't turn out to be the greatest people in the world and I don't hang out with them anymore, but I'm just like, I might've put a little more emphasis probably towards the later part of my 20s on like not hanging out with people just cause I thought they were cool.
Yeah. That's a really good one. That's a totally good call. It is crazy when you look back like 10 years ago, who you were spending time with and audit that and think about the same thing for, now.
Yeah. It's wild.
Absolutely wild.
And there's definitely, I still have a bunch of friends that I met in my 20s that are still really good dudes that are still really good friends.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's a good question. I mean, it all kind of catches up to you. Like, all the usual things are worthwhile. And, your 20s are where you can get away with not doing a lot of them and not have it catch up to you quite as fast. But that snowball's starting, working out, I figured out. So if I could go back to myself, I'd be like, floss, dude. Figure out. I don't care if it sucks. You'll be so glad you figured out flossing earlier.
Yeah. What's your system now?
I'm back on the finger flossing. I just like that cocoa floss a lot. I've tried a few different flossers and it's more hassle to set them up than to just use your fingers. You get
really, like, how do you remember to do it? You just do it like every time you drive your car or like what's the impetus?
That's a good question. I don't really have one. I'm just riding a wave of motivation. Okay.
Gotcha. Nice. Hell yeah.
But that's been like a long term thing that I've worked on. So yeah, just thinking if I could get through to myself in my 20s about it, I would like to.
I mean, yeah, that is tough too, right? Because like teenagers know everything, but people in their 20s know a lot too. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back next week. Everybody's here. We should be good to go. Awesome. So for MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Matt, real quick, the dinner I was just at, one of the guys there is a it's like a bubble candidate professional golfer. And I was just dropping Palm Springs courses. Like I've played them all. I was like, oh, are you talking about the vintage? Are you talking about the tradition? I was like, wow, you know a lot about golf. I actually don't. Anyway, shout out to you.
I was gonna say, between Matt and the Bob Does Sports and Fat, all the golf guys I watch on Instagram, I'm with you. I drop golf knowledge all the time now.
yeah, me too. It's like, oh, what's your handicap? Like, I don't play. Retired. Yeah, this guy actually was who's the number one golfer in the world right now?
Scottie Scheffler.
That was his college roommate.
No kidding.
No shit.
Yeah.
No kidding. No kidding.
No, yeah. Scotty's a Texas boy. That makes sense. That's awesome.
That does add up.
Yeah, they went to UT. All right, cop topic. What's something people in their 20s don't realize will affect them when they get older, like when they're in their 40s? I've kind of just gotten back into stretching, realized like my back is super tight. I, you know, had a bad dentist appointment where he's like, hey, you know, you're grinding your teeth, whatever, it's taking some damage. So what's something people in their 20s don't realize will affect them when they get older? Like, you know, as they hit their 40s or 50s. Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com, 2 E's. Our emails were sparse this week. Hit us up, boys. I know, I see the numbers. A lot of you guys are listening. I kind of like the silent majority out there, but, and my favorite, honestly, are the people who email who have been like, I've been listening to you for 9 years and never said a word. What's up?
I mean, Cobb, I think you hit two big ones, just staying active and like, you know, stuff like teeth and stretching, right? Cause like the older you get, like sometimes, like there's just, I don't know, you could sleep wrong and be like, I got this thing in my, you know, neck or whatever. Yeah. I would also say relationships too, and not just, you know, like male, female, but like, I don't know. I look at back at some of the people I spent time with and I'm like, why did I hang out with that person that much? You know, because like they didn't turn out to be the greatest people in the world. And I don't hang out with them anymore. But I'm just like, I might have put a little more emphasis probably towards the later part of my 20s on like not hanging out with people just because I thought they were cool.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That's a totally good call. It is crazy when you look back like 10 years ago, who you were spending time with and audit that and think about the same thing for, you know, now.
Yeah, it's wild.
Absolutely wild.
And there's definitely, you know, there's definitely, I still have a bunch of friends that I met in my 20s that are still really good dudes that are still really good friends.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it all kind of catches up to you. Like, all the usual things are worthwhile. And, you know, your 20s are where you can get away with not doing a lot of them and not have it catch up to you quite as fast. But that snowball's starting, you know, working out, I figured out. So if I could go back to myself, I'd be like, floss, dude. Figure out. I don't care if it sucks. You'll be so glad you figured out flossing earlier.
Yeah. What's your system now?
I'm back on the finger flossing. I just like that cocoa floss a lot. I've tried a few different flossers and it's more hassle to set them up than to just use your fingers. You get in
there like, how do you remember to do it? You just do it like every time you drive your car or like, what's the impetus?
That's a good question. I don't really have one. I'm just riding a wave of motivation. Okay.
Gotcha. Nice. Hell yeah.
But that's been like a long term thing that I've worked on. So, yeah, just thinking if I could get through to myself in my 20s about it, I would like to.
I mean, yeah, that is tough too, right? Because like teenagers know everything, but people in their 20s know a lot too. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back next week. Yeah, everybody's here. We should be good to go. Awesome. So for MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.